Welcome to the first edition of Wax Ecstatic, the podcast that's all about baseball cards. Could it get any nerdier than that? Of course not. I'm your nerdy host, Matt Salmon, Director of Broadcasting and Programming for the Tampa Bay Lightning and Tampa Bay Storm. Very nice to meet you. By the way, you can follow us on Twitter. We've got an account set up. Who doesn't have an account on Twitter, right? It is Wax and Gum Stains. Yes, that's the handle, Wax and Gum Stains. If you collected baseball cards from 1991 or any date prior to that year, you know what that is all about. Your favorite player's card was annually destroyed by either a dinosaur age piece of bubblegum or by hot wax that was being pressed into the back of the card when the machine was packaging it in the factory. Of course, they moved on to removing bubblegum and started wrapping things in foil packaging and cellophane. But, you know, when you're talking about the halcyon days of baseball card collecting, it's all about wax and gum stains. Yes, the halcyon days of baseball card collecting. I made it sound like a noble hobby. Ah, the halcyon days of baseball card collecting, when we would take these precious slivers of cardboard and put them on a Tiffany plate and cover it with a dome of glass. Like pheasant under glass. No. Talking about the good old days. When I collected, and chances are, when you collected, mid to late 80s into the mid 90s, yeah, that was the time when there must have been 80 billion baseball cards, or at least 80 billion brands of baseball cards. I can guarantee you there's probably still 80 billion cases of 1988 Tops rolling around the earth right now. But yeah, you know, back then you were a kid and you were a sports fan and you liked the cards, and you know, there was variety. There were different companies. There were different chase cards. And then, of course, each company branched off and had different makes and models of cards, if you will. But you didn't care. You know, you were a little kid. You liked sports. You liked collecting cards. And you had plenty of choices and plenty of baseball card shops. I grew up in Sefner, Florida. I think there must have been five or six stores within a 15-minute ride from my house. I mean, good luck finding one within 50 miles of downtown Tampa. Not that I'm looking for one, but I mean, they're so few and far between now. But I mean, back in the day, 20, 25 years ago, they were everywhere. And if you're like me, you collected those cards, and I found a massive box of cards that I just started rummaging through, and I thought, I'm going to share this with people, and I think you'll find it entertaining, because that's all I know how to be, is entertaining. And we're going to have some fun with this and hopefully bring back some good childhood memories for you. Now, the whole idea behind Wax Ecstatic actually started a couple years ago when I was on Twitter and I responded to somebody's tweet with a picture of a baseball card. Because as somebody who collected baseball cards as a teenager, I mean, that's how I speak. You know, I'm sure somebody brought up like Jeff Blauser or something, and that was the one thing I thought of. Oh, let me just pull up this baseball card of Jeff Blauser. Here you go. Here's a 1988 Donruss Jeff Blauser. This will tell the story that I'm trying to tell on Twitter, because clearly I can't put it in 140 characters. And after that tweet, I actually had Bill Abercrombie, who's one of the uppity-ups over at the Tampa Bay Lightning, responded, as well as Mike Harrison, part of our sponsorship and activation group. And we're just tweeting baseball cards back and forth. And we started tweeting these really goofy-looking cards. And I remember in particular the 1973 Topps set, which, if memory recalls correctly for me, Topps, which for years and years and years, you know, the photos of the players that they used on baseball cards, they were posed shots. You know, it was a picture of a guy who pretended that he just hit the ball, threw the ball, or caught the ball. And I think by 1972, Topps just got really tired of, just these really boring shots. And they said, okay, we need some more action shots. So they had all of these wide lens, really bizarro attempts at getting action shots in the 73 set. So the three of us are just constantly tweeting all of these pictures of goofy baseball cards. And by the way, we wasted about 2 hours at work one day doing that. But that's kind of how the idea started. I thought, you know, there's a lot of goofy baseball cards from, you know, when I was a kid, and they're still sitting in a box somewhere, and somehow, some way, I'm going to find a way to share this. And it just kind of became this little side project called Wax Ecstatic. And yes, I know I should have Sponge's song Wax Ecstatic as the theme music, but I don't want the pantsuit off me, so I hope you enjoyed the rather mundane, alternative-like production library music to introduce this show. Now, anyways, the Wax Ecstatic podcast moving forward will be a lot shorter than this one. This introductory podcast, it's going to be a little bit of a rambling monologue for two reasons. One, because I want to tell you a little more about the show. Two, I want to tell you a little more about myself to kind of just kind of set the table here so that moving forward, the podcast, which I don't right now see as being an everyday thing, unless somebody shows up with a duffel bag full of unmarked bills at my front door, then perhaps we could work something out. But again, this is something that it's a side project. I'm doing it in my spare time, which I have very little of anyways. I'm thinking, for starters, we'll probably roll out two or three a week. But it's going to be a very interesting layout here because basically this stems from a monster box, is what they used to call them. It was a 5,000 card box that I've carried around all my life. More about that later. And it carries cards from 1981 through 1989. There's, you know, some sets that aren't represented there. And I'm just going to pull a card at random every time we do this podcast, talk about the card itself and talk about the player, probably make fun of the player, which is very easy to do these days, even though these players have played much more Major League Baseball than I ever wished I could. But, you know, it's humor. I'm all about comedy, so that's what we're going to do. But we'll talk about that when, and maybe, you know, a little baseball history, trivia, just fun stuff. Hopefully bring back some good childhood memories. That's what we're going to be doing moving forward, starting with the next podcast. We may leave the monster box of cards. I still do have a couple of smaller boxes. They have like 87 tops and 90 tops, 91 tops, you know, some sets that I really clung on to. Also, and maybe this is an idea down the line for Throwback Thursday, but I've got a few binders full of really old cards, pre-1981. As a kid, I didn't just collect baseball cards. I collected the old cards. And, you know, back in the day, before the internet, you actually had to go out and buy these cards at like flea markets and garage sales and stuff like that. So who knows? Every now and then I might just pull up one of those 73 Tops cards that I made fun of a couple years ago with a couple of my coworkers and came up with this brilliant idea called Wax Ecstatic. And by the way, if you want to interact with the program, if you want to share some of your favorite cards, if you want to just compliment me for this fine job that I'm doing, this few minutes of entertainment that you're going to get, then go ahead and talk to us on Twitter again. Wax and Gum Stains is the Twitter handle. And we'll just see where this goes. If this is like any other side project I've done in my life, it will die a quiet death in about 5 weeks. But I think it's got some legs because, well, first of all, you've made it this far. God bless you. I don't know how you did that. But second, if you're listening to this podcast, you're like me in that you collected cards as a youngster, maybe you still do today. I'll admit I kind of got back into it for a couple of different reasons, which I'll get into in a moment. But it all starts in the beginning. And for a lot of us, it probably started the same way. And that is just an innocent purchase of baseball cards. Now, I shared this story with Alex Bursch and the Tops Talk podcast, which is one of my favorites, by the way. At Tops Talk is the Twitter handle, and they put out a new show, if not every week, every other week. But for me, it all started when I was 11 years old. I was at a Publix here in Tampa. I've spent most of my life in Tampa. I'm originally from New York, but I've spent roughly 31 of my soon-to-be 39 years here in Tampa Bay. And Publix is a well-known grocery store here in not just in Tampa Bay, but all throughout the Southeast now. And I was out shopping with my mother. And this was in the summer of 1989. So yeah, I was 11. I was going to turn 12 that year. and this was maybe July or August, so you're kind of past the midpoint of the season. So any store that has baseball cards, especially a grocery store, they just want them out of there. They just move the product, get it out of here. So this particular Publix that we went to this day had a bushel basket full of 1989 Topps wax packs, and they had a markdown to three for a dollar. And if you remember back then, Topps wax packs were 45 cents. So let's see, you get three of them, you save yourself, what, about a quarter, basically. So my mom said, hey, do you want some baseball cards? And I said, sure, why not? And put them in the cart. We finished up our shopping and it started from there. Now, I was, like I said, 11 going on 12. I liked sports. I played some sports despite my not so athletic figure. I played soccer. I played t-ball when I was young. I played bowling. I would eventually, later on in life when I was a teenager, play baseball for a couple of winters. And even though I played some sports and I liked sports, I wasn't like total nerd about sports. That would come soon thereafter. In fact, it was right around that time, and it was especially with baseball, football too, but especially with baseball, I started to understand the rules of the game more. I understood the statistics of the game more. And I really understood the history of the game. And I'm a big history buff. I love reading about the history of pretty much anything. And the fact that I love sports and history, you combine that together, and you're talking about a total nerd convention if you ever get me into that conversation where I can talk about baseball history or hockey history or whatever. So, right around that time, I started following the Toronto Blue Jays for no good reason, as I was in Tampa, Florida, but I just started following the Blue Jays, and I really started getting into the sport. So here I am starting to get into the history of the sport, the stats of the sport, and I've just been handed three packs of baseball cards. Now, my older brother, Mike, who's 3 years older than me, he collected some baseball cards when he was younger. Didn't collect a whole lot. He had like a couple hundred cards from the early 80s. So I had seen baseball cards before. I knew what they were. Never really had an appreciation for them. But then you have that magical mix of liking the sport more, understanding the sport more, understanding the history of the sport more. And what is better to have in your hand than a stack of cardboard with that toxic mix of smells, and a good toxic, by the way, that endearing mix of smells of cardboard, wax, and bubblegum that had pictures of the players that you followed, statistics of the players that you followed, and their history, sometimes a team history. It was all right there in this little piece of cardboard. And from that moment in the summer of 1989, I was hooked. And in 1989, I started buying more and more cards. In 1990, I just went all out, like every other 12-year-old kid back then. I bought every stinking card that I could find. And I was a huge collector of cards, 91, 92, into 93. But then it dried up for a few reasons, actually. For one, if you go into the 1994 baseball season, I was going into my senior year in high school. So, you know, your mind is on different things when you're 16, 17 years old. For one, girls. And listen, I already had, you know, eyeglasses. Again, I wasn't the most athletic kid around. I was a nerd. I had enough trouble attracting women. Excuse me. I had enough trouble attracting women to even pay attention to me. So walking around with a pack of baseball cards or talking about baseball cards, that didn't really factor into the cool department at all. So there was that. Also, besides trying to hook up with girls, you know, you're trying to buy your first car. You're trying to get your driver's license. You're trying to save up money for really cool things. You start to work more, so you have less time to do hobbies. And also going into your senior year, you're trying to be the cool senior. You're doing some really important things to ready yourself for college. So those were some reasons. The 1994 baseball strike was a huge reason as well. I gave up on even caring about the sport of baseball for a good 3 or 4 years after that. And then the other thing is, again, if you were a collector back then, there were just so many cards. I mean, just a ridiculous amount of cards and sets and subsets and subsets to subsets and chase cards for subsets to subsets of major sets. And it just got to be too much. You didn't know what brand to buy. You didn't know what pack or box or redemption offer you should follow. And it was just too much. You got inundated by it. So that was a perfect storm. By 1994, I really didn't buy any cards. And didn't buy any new cards for about 10 years. And I would start buying packs here and there, in part because I was co-hosting by then a radio show about baseball. So that was my excuse to buy baseball cards while I'm doing some show prep here. Yeah. You know, meanwhile, my co-host was Fred McGriff, who only hit 493 home runs, won a World Series, was a star player on that Toronto Blue Jays team that I fell in love with as a kid. So I could have picked his brain, and I decided to go with baseball cards, too. Okay. By the way, Fred McGriff should be in the Hall of Fame. Should be. And he better be sooner than later. I mean, he did only hit 493 home runs without a needle in his ass. So he should be there. So off that sidebar, well, what's funny is even though I stopped buying new products, even though I was disgusted at the hobby, even though I was disgusted at the sport for a few years, the funny thing is I still carried all those damn cards with me everywhere I lived. And when I say all those damn cards, I don't mean just like 100 or 1,000. Or 10,000. Get this. In 1993, I actually did an estimate of my card collection. I had 50,000 sports cards. 50,000 sports cards by estimate. Now, they weren't all baseball. I'd say probably like 35,000 were baseball. I also collected a lot of hockey cards. I had probably 10,000 hockey cards. And then the rest were football and basketball. I had a little bit of those. But 50,000 cards in boxes and binders and top loaders and the really good cards, you know, they were screwed down in the, you know, plastic holders. You know, you go out and spend more money on the holder than the card was actually worth. Yeah. So, every dorm I lived in, every apartment I lived in, for a good 10, 12 years, I lugged those damn things around everywhere. Everywhere. So even though I tried to run away from the hobby and the sport for a little while, I still had the cards with me. Fast forward, again, 10, 12 years. So I had a fiance who became my wife. And of course, when you get married and you're living in a small two-bedroom apartment, you know, stuff's got to go. So I looked through all these baseball cards. I said, okay, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to take this box and get rid of it, this box, get rid of it, this box. So I sorted through all the cards. And of those 50,000 cards, I found probably about 35,000 that I said, I don't need these anymore. I'm tired of carrying them around. They're just stacks and stacks of cards. I don't need them. And I had stacks and stacks of cards because when I collected as a kid, I didn't collect complete sets. I didn't go to stores and buy individual cards. My way of collecting was through packs. I bought pack after pack after pack after pack after pack of cards. And when I got a little older and I was making some money mowing the neighbor's yard, you know, you give $15, $20 to a 14, 15-year-old kid who's collecting baseball cards, you know where that money is going. I would then buy boxes of cards. And, you know, the wax boxes, the old wax boxes. You used to get the 36 packs in them. Or a cello box, you know, you used to get 24 cellophane packs. And that's how I amassed so many cards throughout the years. So I finally decided, okay, here's roughly 2/3 of my collection that I want nothing to do with anymore. And I tried to sell it on eBay, and that was a big mistake. And the simple reason why is because my little box of 800 1989 Topps cards, well, guess what? There are still 800 billion 1989 Topps baseball cards floating around. And most of them are still in their factory sealed boxes and cases and wax packs and cello packs and rack packs and vending boxes. I mean, they're everywhere. So I didn't exactly have a market for it. Well, I also just couldn't make any money off of it. You try shipping a box of baseball cards. I mean, it's $12 or $13 because of the weight and the size of the box. And good luck selling a random assortment of 800 1989 Topps baseball cards for more than $2. So it was a money-losing affair. So finally, I found a guy who ran a baseball card shop in Temple Terrace. It's not there anymore. Sorry if you're listening, you're trying to unload cards here. And I just said, you know what? I just need to dump these things off. And the guy actually bought cards for $1 per 1,000. So I sold this massive amount of cards for, you know, $35 basically. And, you know, this guy, his shop, I don't know if he just moved somewhere or just got out of the business or what, but he would buy these sets because somebody was looking for individual cards to complete sets. So this was the rare instance of one guy who could actually use all these common cards from the mid to late 80s into the early 90s. And here I am just unloading them on him, and I'm getting some nice binders and boxes for the cards that I kept. And that was about it. By the way, I still do collect cards, certainly nowhere near the volume that I used to when I was a kid. My wife would kill me if I did that, because that's just way, way, way too much. All of a sudden, I would turn into the comic book guy from The Simpsons, and that would be the worst thing ever. I don't want to do that. So, but I still do occasionally buy those packs. Like I said, it kind of started, 2005-ish when I did my radio show with Fred McGriff. In 2006, the people at Topps, boy, they really got me. Hook, line, and sinker. Topps was celebrating their 55th anniversary in 2006. And in rack packs, I don't think anybody actually sells rack packs anymore. Anyways, they had rack packs, and it said right there on the side of the package, with vintage cards included. And, well, you know, that just pulled me right in, because I always collected old cards. So I look at it, and I go, oh, you got to be kidding me. Vintage cards. Of course, the vintage cards, you know, it was like an 86 Topps Earl Weaver. You know, it was the stinking manager card, or it was Buddy Biancalana. It was just, what the hell? You know, this isn't like the 52 Mantle. This isn't 67 Yastrzemski. You know, it's Rusty Kuntz. And that is how you say his name, by the way, K-U-N-T-Z. You get those cards that you threw out years before, but anyways, that's what kind of hooked me back in. And then what really got me going, two things that got me going, actually three things. One thing is the love for baseball. As I've gotten older, I've gone back towards baseball. I enjoy watching the game in person at the ballpark. I love watching it on TV, listening to it on radio as well. Of course, I work for a hockey team. Hockey's my number one sport. But as I've gotten older, I've fallen in love again with the simplicity of baseball, and it's a fun sport. I mean, in fact, a lot of people who work for hockey teams, they like baseball too, and I think it's because the baseball season is always on when we're off, and vice versa. It's hockey when I'm working, baseball when I'm not. So I've kind of fallen in love with the sport once again. The other thing is, there is a brand of baseball cards out there now. You probably know about them, Topps Heritage. And basically what they do is they take the players of today and put them on the card designs from 49 years ago. Now, why they picked the number 49, I don't know, but it kind of works. This year, 67 Topps was the design, and I didn't like the original 67 Topps, never really cared for it, but I've bought quite a few packs of Topps Heritage this year. I think that's a great product, although they do need to mix up the distribution of cards. You get way too many duplicates in packages now. If you need a David Freese or CJ Cron, I've got them. I've got like six of them each. So yeah, just send us a tweet, Wax and Gum Stains. I'll send you one free of charge. So, the Heritage, that's the brand that I really started collecting over the last 4 or 5 years. And then the other big reason, and perhaps the biggest reason why I've gotten into it, and again, nowhere near the level when I was a teenager, I don't want to do that, but my son, My son is 6 years old. He'll be 7 in January. And he loves sports, loves hockey, loves the Lightning. But he also likes baseball. And we go to a lot of baseball games during the summer. And I introduced him to baseball cards actually a couple years ago. And of course, you know, at 4 or 5 years old, they don't really know what's going on with them. But, you know, now that he's older, it's kind of a treat. You know, hey, once a week, once every other week, we just happen to be in Target or Walmart. That's pretty much the only place you can find baseball cards these days. And, you know, hey, do you want a pack of baseball cards? And we'll open them up together. He wants all of my Rays cards. He still doesn't understand the concept of, I still have this ludicrous idea that I'm actually going to complete a set someday. And you know, it's fun. And I've actually been able to, as a parent, I've taught life lessons through baseball cards. My son is a bit of a perfectionist. Chip off the old block here. And, you know, I remember one day he was upset about, you know, he lost a game. I don't know if it was a video game or a board game or something, but he lost a contest and he was upset about it. And I told him, I said, all right, go over to your little pile of baseball cards there. I said, pull one out. And he pulled it out. I think it was Matt Moore of the Rays. I said, oh, okay, well, let's look at his win-loss record. All right, here's the number of games he started. It was like 25 games the year before. I said, well, he's got 25 games started, and, oh, he only won 13 of them. In fact, he lost 9. So you can't win them all. You know, here's a guy who's, you know, and it says so on the back of the baseball card. It says that he's, you know, one of the top pitchers for the Tampa Bay Rays. I said, you know, here's one of the top guys for your favorite team, and he's not perfect. And, you know, my kid was able to understand that through baseball cards. So it's cool. You know, it's a fun little father-son bonding thing. I don't know if he'll be as feverish of a collector as I was as a kid, but, you know, it's got to start somewhere, and that's where it started with him. So I think that's really cool, and that's, like I said, it's kind of brought me back into the collecting. I don't buy that many now simply because I don't want boxes and boxes and boxes of cards following me around. And, oh, by the way, you know, the cards are kind of expensive these days. And you know what? You probably feel this too if you still collect these days. I think it's kind of a neat way for adults to blow off steam. You know, nowadays, coloring is a big thing. You know, people spend $20 on a coloring book to relieve stress. And I think that's kind of bizarre. I get the therapeutic, you know, idea behind coloring. If you just sit down and just scribble something with crayons, you'll relax. If you go to a dollar store and you buy coloring books, your wallet will thank you later. But, you know, for those people who find relaxation through coloring, you know, for me, finding some relaxation by opening up a pack of baseball cards or just kind of sorting through a stack, you know, there's a lot of stress release there. It may sound very, very odd to some people. But again, if you've gotten this far in our introductory podcast for Wax Ecstatic, you've probably done the same thing or you've probably observed the same thing. And I hope that's the case. So there's my spiel. You know, how I got started, how I ran away from it, how I'm back in it, again, to a much smaller scale than when I was younger. And we're going to have fun with this because I'm going to pour through the old box here and just pull out random cards and have some random thoughts. That's pretty much what I do. Now, I can tell you the first set, as I look at this box of cards, is 81 Fleer. And there's a lot of funny things about 81 Fleer. And I'm sure I'll be able to find a particularly goofy card because that's pretty much the entire set. It was not a very good set. But we'll dive into that next on Wax Ecstatic. That next podcast will be coming out, who knows, sometime in the next few days. So follow us on SoundCloud or follow us on Twitter. Again, Wax and Gum Stains is the handle. Wax Ecstatic is the name of the show. I'm your host, Matt Salmon. I'm embracing my inner nerd by doing this podcast, and I'm sure you are too, just by listening to it. So thanks again to tuning in to Wax Ecstatic. We'll see you next time.